Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So we've talked about various preparedness topics related from my experience last summer with the Iran war. And since then, I have become increasingly determined that preparedness is not something I will be ashamed about, especially living in Israel and what we've seen with Iran in recent days. Without living on tenterhooks all the time. And I think that's kind of the good thing about some of this digital preparedness is that when something inevitably does happen, and you've kind of got those basics in place, it makes it less stressful. So one of the first things, my learnings, as I mentioned, were that connectivity in some kind of a state of emergency in the 21st century, like when you have the outbreak of warfare and missiles, connectivity is key and government sources are key. So assuming that you don't live in a censored regime, once you can get national TV and Twitter and Telegram, you can figure out what's going on. And for that, you need two things. Cellular internet. You can use any internet, but talking about when you're on the move and maybe sheltering somewhere, cellular and power. And the other savior of my preparedness for this war, besides the travel router I mentioned, was having a couple of power banks. And they'll keep with USB-C, they'll keep a router going for quite a good amount of time because routers are pretty low draw. But when I was down there, thinking about all this stuff in the summer, I was wondering at one point in time, power banks are kind of things intended for putting in our backpacks, and they're great and they're compact. Their capacity is limited by, how much does your average person want to carry? And also by the fact that the TSA and a lot of aviation regulators set maximums as to how large of a battery one can take on their plane. So a lot of power bank manufacturers kind of cap out at that 20,000 milliampere category because it pleases everyone. It's not too heavy, and it's not going to get confiscated at the airport. But that might not be enough if you have multiple people, a family, and you're relying upon this to power all the devices for even 24 hours. You're not going to find a power bank that is going to do all that and going to fit in your pocket. But outside of this world, there's something called power stations. They're more expensive. They're not really portable in the sense that you can't carry them around like a power bank. And they're kind of just power banks on steroids or other power banks with a lot more capacity. I came across a few of these, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts upon just a basic buyer's guide for purchasing one of these for this use. It's not something you're intending to use. It's something you're hoping you're going to keep powered up, and you hope if you have, a lengthy power outage or in a situation like this, it's going to come in very handy. So Herman and Corin, that, and one other question there for Dr. Poppleberry is, keeping a power battery always topped up goes against everything we're told about battery life, right? You're supposed to top up if you want to maximize the length of your battery. You don't just keep it on power all the time. That's generally not a good thing to do, but that's what we would need to do. So what is the best way to maximize, if you're going to invest one of these, maximize their service lifetime, what kind of capacity are we talking about, and what are some reputable brands to be looking at? Herman and Corin, let's talk about power stations as part of our overall preparedness discussions.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and I am sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem with my brother.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. It is a bit of a heavy afternoon here, Corin. The hum of the city feels a little different when the news cycle is as intense as it has been lately.
It really does. And our housemate Daniel has been feeling that too. He sent us a prompt earlier today about something that has been on all of our minds. He has been thinking about digital preparedness, specifically how we keep our lives running when the lights go out or the connectivity drops. He mentioned his experience with the tensions we saw back in April of 2024 and how that changed his perspective on being ready for anything.
It is a logical progression, honestly. We have talked about the psychological side of preparedness before, but the technical side is where I really get to geek out. Daniel is asking about power stations. Not just the little pocket chargers we use for our phones, but the heavy-duty units that can keep a home office or a small kitchen running during an outage.
Right. He is looking for a buyer's guide. What capacity do we need? Which brands are actually reputable in 2026? And most importantly for you, Herman, how do we keep these things healthy when they're mostly just sitting there waiting for an emergency?
Oh, that last part is the real kicker. It is the paradox of the emergency battery. You want it full so it is ready. But keeping a battery at 100% all the time is essentially a slow-motion suicide for the chemical cells inside. We will definitely dive deep into that.
Let us start with the basics for anyone who is new to this. When we say power station, we are talking about a portable power station, sometimes called a solar generator. It is basically a giant battery in a box with an inverter that lets you plug in regular household appliances using standard AC outlets.
Exactly. And the market has matured so much in the last few years. Back in 2022 or 2023, you still saw a lot of older lithium-ion chemistries. But today, in 2026, if you are buying a power station for emergency preparedness, you absolutely must look for lithium iron phosphate, or LFP. It is sometimes listed as LiFePO4.
Why is that the deal breaker for you?
Longevity and safety, Korn. A standard lithium-ion battery like the one in your phone might be rated for 500 to 800 charge cycles before it loses significant capacity. An LFP battery is typically rated for 3,000 to 4,000 cycles. If you used it every single day, it would last you 10 years. For someone like Daniel, who wants it for emergencies, that battery will likely outlive the plastic casing it is housed in. Plus, LFP is much more thermally stable. It is way less likely to catch fire if it is punctured or if the electronics fail.
That makes total sense for a device you are keeping under your desk or in a closet. So, let us talk capacity. Daniel asked what capacity we should look for. This is where people get confused with the numbers. We are talking about watt hours, right?
Yes, watt hours. Think of watt hours as the size of the fuel tank. If you have a 1,000 watt hour station, it can theoretically power a 100 watt device for 10 hours. In reality, you lose about 15 to 20% of that to the inverter efficiency, so it is more like 8 hours.
So, for a typical household here in Jerusalem, if we are worried about a 24-hour power outage, what is the sweet spot?
It depends on your mission. If your mission is just keeping the Starlink Mini running and charging a few phones, you can get away with a small unit, maybe 300 to 500 watt-hours. We know the Starlink Mini draws about 25 to 40 watts on average. A 500 watt-hour station would keep you online for over 10 hours easily.
But Daniel mentioned a family, or a longer-term situation.
Right. If you want to keep a full-size refrigerator running, you need to step up. A fridge doesn't run constantly, but when the compressor kicks on, it draws a lot. For a 24-hour period, a 1,000-watt-hour station is the bare minimum for a fridge and some lights. If you want real peace of mind, you are looking at the 2,000-watt-hour category. That is where you start seeing the big boys like the EcoFlow Delta Series or the BlueEdy AC Series or the BlueEdy AC Series.
Let us get specific on brands. Daniel asked for reputable names. Given the current landscape in early 2026, who is leading the pack in terms of reliability and support?
EcoFlow is still the giant in the room. Their Delta 2 Max and the newer Delta Pro series are incredibly polished. They have some of the fastest charging speeds in the industry. You can plug a Delta 2 Max into a wall outlet and go from 0 to 80% in about an hour. That is crucial if you only have a short window of power between outages to top things up.
I have also heard good things about Anker lately. They moved into this space pretty aggressively.
They did. The Anker Solix series, specifically the C1000, is a fantastic mid-range choice. Anker's big selling point is their build quality and their 5-year warranty, which is quite generous in this industry. They use high-quality LFP cells and their thermal management is excellent. Then you have BlueEdy. They are the ones who often experiment with more industrial-grade features. Their AC200L is a workhorse. It has a massive surge capacity, which means it can handle the initial spike of power when you turn on something heavy like a power tool or a large coffee machine.
What about Jackery? They used to be the name everyone knew.
Jackery is the reliable, simple option. They were a bit slow to move to LFP chemistry across their whole line, but their newer Explorer Plus series has finally caught up. They are great for people who don't want to mess with apps or complex settings. It is very much a plug-and-play brand. But for someone like us, or Daniel, who wants more data and control, EcoFlow or Bluetti usually offer more features.
You mentioned apps. Is that actually useful or just another thing to break?
In an emergency, it is actually a godsend. Most of these units have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. You can sit on your couch and see exactly how many watts your fridge is drawing and how many hours of battery life you have left. You can also adjust the charging speed. If you are running on a small portable generator, you might want to slow down the AC charging so you don't trip the generator's breaker. That kind of control is vital.
Okay, let's pivot to the technical deep dive Daniel asked for. This is the Dr. Poppleberry special. How do we balance keeping the battery topped up for an emergency while maintaining its health? Most people think you just leave it plugged in all the time, but you mentioned that is bad.
It is the biggest mistake people make. Lithium batteries, even the hardy LFP ones, hate being at 100% state of charge for long periods. When a battery is fully charged, the lithium ions are all crammed into the anode, creating high voltage stress. Over months and years, this causes the electrolyte to decompose and the capacity to fade.
So if Daniel keeps his power station at 100% for a year, waiting for a war or an outage, what happens?
He might find that when he actually needs it, the 2,000 watt-hour battery only gives him 1,500 watt-hours. Or worse, the internal resistance has increased so much that it can no longer handle high-power loads.
So what is the Poppleberry prescription?
The gold standard is the 80-20 rule, or even the 70-30 rule for long-term storage. If you know you aren't going to use it for a few weeks, keep it at about 60 to 80%. Most modern power stations from EcoFlow or Anker actually have a setting in the app for this. You can set a charging limit. You tell the unit, hey, even if you are plugged into the wall, don't go above 80%.
But wait, Herman. If the power goes out at 2 in the morning, Daniel is starting with 20% less capacity than he could have had. In an emergency, every watt hour counts.
That is the trade-off. However, because LFP charges so fast, if you see the situation deteriorating, you can bump that limit back up to 100% in less than 30 minutes. It is about situational awareness. If things are quiet, keep it at 80. If the news looks bad or if there is a storm coming, top it off to 100. Just don't leave it at 100 for 6 months straight.
What about the bottom end? Is it okay to run it down to zero?
Absolutely not. Running a lithium battery to true zero can be fatal for the cells. Most power stations have a built-in buffer where 0% on the screen isn't actually 0% in the chemistry, but you still shouldn't let it sit empty. If you use it during an outage and it hits zero, you must recharge it as soon as possible. If a battery sits at zero for a month, it might never wake up again.
So, for someone living in a high-tension area like we are, what is the maintenance routine? Once a month, do you discharge it?
Yes. I recommend a shallow cycle every 3 months. Discharge it down to 20% by running some household appliances, then charge it back up to your storage limit. This helps the battery management system, or BMS, stay calibrated. The BMS needs to see the battery go through its range so it can accurately calculate how much life is left. If you never use it, the percentage meter on the screen can become inaccurate, which is the last thing you want during a blackout.
That is a great point. You don't want to think you have 5 hours left when you actually have two. Let's talk about second-order effects. If everyone in the neighborhood has these power stations, does that change the dynamic of a grid failure?
It is a fascinating thought experiment. On one hand, it reduces the immediate panic. People can stay informed, keep their phones charged, and keep their food from spoiling. On the other hand, when the grid comes back on, if thousands of these units all start fast charging at 2,000 watts simultaneously, it could actually trip the grid again. It is called a cold load pickup problem.
I hadn't thought of that. It is like everyone turning their air conditioners on at the exact same moment.
Exactly. That is why I always suggest that when the power comes back, you should manually lower your charging speed if your unit allows it. Be a good grid citizen.
Let's talk about the solar side of this. Daniel's prompt focused on power stations, but these are often sold as solar generators. How realistic is it to rely on solar panels in a city like Jerusalem during a conflict?
It is tough. If you are in an apartment, you are limited by balcony space. But even a small 100-watt portable panel can be a lifesaver. It won't run your fridge, but it will keep your communication devices and lights going indefinitely. The key is to get panels that match the voltage input of your station. Most brands have their own proprietary panels, which are easy but expensive. You can use third-party panels, but you have to check the open circuit voltage. If you plug a 40-volt panel into a station that only handles 30 volts, you will fry the charge controller.
So for Daniel, if he is buying a 1,000-watt-hour station, should he get 200 watts of solar?
That is a good ratio. 200 watts of solar will give you about 800 to 1,000 watt-hours of charge on a sunny day here. That basically replaces what you used the day before. It makes you energy neutral for basic needs.
We should also mention temperature. We are lucky here that it doesn't get as cold as, say, Chicago, but it does get hot.
Heat is the enemy. Never, ever charge your power station in direct sunlight. The solar panels should be in the sun, but the battery should be in the shade, ideally behind a wall or under a cover. Charging a battery generates its own heat, and if the ambient temperature is already 40 degrees Celsius, the BMS will throttle the charging speed to a crawl to prevent a fire.
And what about the noise? You mentioned earlier that these things have fans.
They do. When you are pulling a lot of power or charging fast, those fans can be quite loud. It sounds like a loud gaming laptop. If you are sleeping in a small room with one of these, it is something to consider. Some units have a quiet mode that limits the power output to keep the fans off.
Let's summarize the buyer's guide for Daniel and our listeners. If you are looking for a solid setup in 2026, what is the Pubbleberry approved list?
For a small, ultra-portable setup, maybe for a grab-and-go bag, the EcoFlow River 2 series. They are light, use LFP cells, and are very reliable. For a home office setup to keep your laptop, monitor, and Starlink running through a workday, the Anker Solix C1000. It is the perfect balance of size and power. And for the full home preparedness setup, the Blueti AC200L or the EcoFlow Delta 2 Max. Those give you enough capacity to be truly comfortable for 24 to 48 hours.
And the maintenance takeaway?
Keep it at 80%. Set a reminder on your phone to check it every 3 months. Use it to power your TV for an evening once a quarter just to keep the electrons moving. And always, always read the manual regarding the maximum surge wattage. Don't try to plug a space heater into a small power station. You won't break it, but the safety fuse will trip, and you will be sitting in the dark wondering why your expensive battery isn't working.
It is about knowing your tools. Just like we talked about in the Passkeys episode a few weeks ago, digital preparedness isn't just about owning the tech. It is about understanding the systems. If you don't know how to use your power station when you are stressed and the sirens are going off, it is just an expensive paperweight.
Beautifully put, Korn. Practice when things are calm. Do a dry run. Unplug your router and your Starlink and see how long your battery actually lasts. You might be surprised.
I think we should also touch on the future. We are talking about LFP today, but what is on the horizon? Daniel is always looking for the next thing.
Solid-state batteries are the holy grail. We are starting to see the very first prototypes in the portable power space. They would be half the weight and twice the capacity, and virtually impossible to catch fire. But they are still prohibitively expensive in 2026. Maybe in another 3 or 4 years, that will be the standard. For now, LFP is the sweet spot of the curve.
It is amazing how fast this has changed. 5 years ago, having a kilowatt hour of power in a box you could carry with one hand was science fiction. Now it is something you can buy at a local electronics store.
It really is. It changes the power dynamic, literally. It moves us away from total dependence on a centralized, often vulnerable grid. Especially in a place like Jerusalem, that kind of personal resilience is worth its weight in gold.
Well, I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. From the chemistry of LFP to the 80-20 charging rule, there is a lot of nuance here.
I hope it helps him feel a bit more secure. Preparedness isn't about being afraid, it is about being capable. When you know you have the power to keep your family connected and your food cold, the weight of the world feels just a little bit lighter.
Absolutely. And if you are listening and you found this helpful, we would really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite podcast app. It really does help other people find us and join our little community of curious minds.
It really does. We love seeing those reviews come in. And remember, you can find all our past episodes and a contact form at our website, myweirdprompts.com. We are also on Spotify, so make sure to follow us there for all the latest updates.
Thanks to Daniel for sending this in. It is a topic that hits close to home for all of us living here. We will be back next week with another exploration of the weird, the technical, and the deeply human.
Until then, stay curious and keep your batteries healthy.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everyone.
So, Armin, be honest. Do you actually have our power station at 80% right now?
Korn, I am offended you even have to ask. It is sitting at exactly 79%. I checked it before we started recording.
Of course you did. I should have known better.
Precision is a virtue, brother. Precision is a virtue.
All right. Let's go see what Daniel's cooking for dinner. I hope it doesn't require the microwave, or you'll have to adjust your 79%.
For a good meal, I am willing to make an exception. Let's go.
See you all next time.
Goodbye.
One last thing. I forgot to mention, if people want to reach out with their own prompts, they can use the form on the website. We actually read all of them.
We do. Some of the best episodes we have ever done came from listeners just like Daniel, so don't be shy.
Exactly. All right, now we are actually going. Bye.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.